This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Your number's 877-217-5757. And talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address. If you'd like to weigh in with General Russell Honoré, the hero of Katrina, 37 years U.S. Army, and he's got his Army cap on today, and he is the first guest to be in studio who's going to try talking into the microphone with a mask. Mm-hmm. He switched masks on me. He brought in one that said Green Army. Now he's got one that I don't think's quite as substantial, but nonetheless will protect him from the germs that I'm sending his way about 6 feet away. But nonetheless, these are serious times. Masks are, of course, helpful in fighting this pandemic, according to most. There are some who disagree. But beyond that, the general, as you can imagine, is surveying the landscape. He is a national and local hero. And General Honoré, what's your take about where we are right now?
Well, with phase one opening in the state, with the COVID-19, I think is a path ahead, but we got to earn our way. And it's going to cause people to sacrifice. People are going to have to wear the mask, going to have to practice social distancing, going to keep washing their hands. If we don't do that, we're going to pay for it later. We still have almost 2,000 people in America dying every day from this COVID-19. My worry is, Jim, is that we've normalized 2,000 people dying a day in an effort to say, well, that's the price we got to pay to open the economy. And we look at who's dying, a lot of poor people, people who work in factories that produce our meat, people who drive buses, people who clean up hospitals, and the poor elderly people in nursing homes, and some of them in prisons. And that's a crying shame. And some of them in state-run VA hospital. Those continue to be, of recent weeks, the biggest population that's dying, and we got to do better at protecting one another.
Well, if 2,000 a day die between now and the end of the year, we'll have over 500,000 Americans who are dead by the end of 2020 from COVID-19. You can't say this has been underplayed. It's obviously the story of the world and of the age, and people are doing the best they can in most cases. But as you know, General, some people have to get out and make a living to feed their families and to feel like they're a worthy part of human society. And when you do that, you take a risk.
Absolutely. And we need those people to go do things like work in the packing houses that provide the food we eat and take care and process chicken and seafood. And those places are not designed to have the social distance. But we got to do better at testing. We got to do better to protect those essential workers. Because when you look at it, it's the people who make minimum wage who's paying the biggest price. Everybody catch it, but the deaths are concentrated around those who make minimum wage. And here in Louisiana, we can't even get a conversation in the legislature about raising minimum wage. And even if you went to $15 an hour, it's still a $30,000 a year income. Well, that's the evolving issue that the pandemic has unfolded. Who is having the biggest impact? Who's paying the biggest price? And it's our healthcare workers and our essential workers. And many of the essential workers are minimum wage workers.
The president has said he's a war president. Is this a war?
He doesn't act like it. Because if an enemy formation came to America and stood off our shores and killing 2,000 people a day, he wouldn't have just partially used the Defense Production Act. He would have used all of the Production Act to provide the PPE, the test kits, and he would have used the Department of Defense early on to manage the distribution and the logistics for PPE and testing.
You were born in 1947, I believe.
Yes, sir.
I was born in 1958, so we're both old enough to remember a period in our country. We start with Dwight David Eisenhower, and President number 34, and go all the way through 41 with George H.W. Bush. Eight straight presidents served in World War II. Since then, We have had Clinton, who by all rights was a draft dodger. We've had Bush, who was a draft dodger. We had Obama, who wasn't old enough to serve in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And we've had Donald Trump, who's a draft dodger, who's being opposed by a draft dodger, Joe Biden, who got out of Vietnam with asthma, while Trump got out with his bone spurs. Do these people have any credibility when it comes to leading other Americans off to fight wars of which they would not participate? And when it comes to crises like this?
Well, our National Command Authority sure is just about we have the right people at the right place, but it comes down to policy. Whereas we expect the National Command Authority to use those things like the National Response Plan that's designed to protect the nation and secure the nation that was created after 9/11 and President Bush's decision number 5, which was the beginning of creating a pandemic plan specific, particularly to this thing we're up against now. And it's apparent when the response started, it was slow, and the decisions out of the White House were not decisive, and there was much talk about it being a hoax. We lost many a days in that process. And look, I'm apolitical. But after spending 37 years, spending time on the joint staff and going to the White House Situation Room, I smelled something wasn't right. As opposed to using the National Command Authority to provide this, they started to use something similar to what entrepreneurs do. And I guess people do what they know, that they got to be a quick, fast, and cheap way to get this done. And fighting the pandemic, you can't do that. You've got to open the door. And you got to use the power and the assets of what we have. And we hadn't done that. I did an interview on Fox News in the middle of February. Look at the notes last night. Middle of February on Neil Covito. And he said, what do you think? I said, well, we got three problems here. We got a health emergency. We've got an economic emergency. And we got a president running for office. It's going to be hard for them to stay on what is the priority. The health emergency is saving lives. And you've seen this thing play out, and they're still struggling with those three priorities as opposed to putting saving lives as number one.
Well, the State of the Union address was on February 4th. February 4th. So that would be 104 days ago, not so long ago.
Yes, sir.
The president spoke for well over an hour. He gave the Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh, but didn't say a word about coronavirus. But now we're hearing that he knew it was a pandemic all along. What do you think of that?
I don't have access to the intelligence, but many reports have come out that this was coming out of intelligence services. And the role of the CDC, who is like our CIA and FBI of tracing pandemics and outbreaks, did not do what we expected them to do. And I think that's a function of policy. They still are not operating as the premier organization that they are to provide warning and information to the American people. And the Department of Health and Human Services have lagged behind the ball in their mission. So both of them have competent people in them. But again, they've taken an entrepreneurial approach as opposed to following procedures that were laid out in the National Response Plan and in the National Command Authority.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. We're hearing the distinctive voice of General Russell Honoré, and after a couple-of-year hiatus from WRKF in 2017, we returned, and he was our first guest on March 27th. He's been here a few times since, and he's, of course, he's ramped up and ready to talk about everything happening. And we're going to go to the Capitol. He's got his eye on some bills, some of which are being heard today, and a listener wants to know his take about another bill that would expand gun rights, this time into churches in Louisiana. Again, your number, 877-217-5757, talk at talklouisiana.org. General Russell Honoré, 37 years in the U.S. Army. He's here with his Army cap and his Green Army face mask, and we'll talk with him about what's happening in our world as we are now in a new day. Phase one has begun. How did it go over the weekend? If you'd like to tell us your experience, you're welcome to do so. We'll be back after this pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757, your number. TalkLouisiana.org is our email, and Lieutenant General Russell Honore is in the house. He'll be with us the remainder of the hours. There's time to get in and talk with him. Got several emails, one from David in Lafayette, questioning Ronald Reagan's service in World War II. Reagan did serve, but David is correct. He was in a unit that made war documentaries and did not go overseas. The general went overseas to fight in more than one war. He is with us, and why don't we look at another one here? Here's one from, actually this is an anonymous posting, but your take on the armed protesters we saw recently. This Jason in Jones Creek writes this. What's your take on this? It's serious. I'm laughing because of all the stunts. What do you make of this?
It's embarrassing. In our democracy, on one hand, people are saying, well, it's my right for Second Amendment right to carry bear arms. But I think most people must, the way I feel, that you can walk into a legislature and close it down carrying long rifles, that's stupid. And what example are we setting for our children? I think we've gone too far with open carry. One would think when you think about open carry, you would have it underneath a jacket or a coat. These people have taken this interpreted as long guns and carrying them. And since when you can carry long rifles or guns inside a state capitol? That's totally stupid. They got away with it, and I hope that is eliminated soon. And there's no way in hell you should be able to carry a weapon at a First Amendment protest.
And another listener, Tracy at the Capitol, asks about the bill from Brian Fontenot, a Republican from Thibodaux, House Bill 334. Lanny Keller in The Advocate yesterday on the main editorial opined, saying in the name of gun rights, a ridiculous measure was launched in the legislature, overriding the pastor and congregation of any church and forcing it to allow firearms in places of worship. Lanny finishes, if the new legislature acting in the shadow of the coronavirus is going to pass extremist bills that have often failed before, he asks. Looks like it, unless someone shoots the snakes. What do you make of that?
You're talking about extremist bill. This is the beginning of a list that the majority party is open up Pandora's box. Every bad bill they could find, they're bringing back to the table, this being one of them. I wrote a book called Don't Be Stuck on Stupid. I think this is the ultimate. We already have sufficient legislation on that topic, but they've run amok with the governor focused on the pandemic, with many members of the legislature at risk and couldn't go last week. They passed a lot of bad bills. A legislator told me one time, Louisiana passed bad bills quickly. It's the good ones they have trouble with. And if this thing passed, this will be totally stupid. Who's going to come to New Orleans and go to a church if you think people are open carrying weapons in there? People from all over the country. 15% of our income is tourism. You think people are going to go to church with people walking around with guns? Because that means if you could carry a 45, you could do like the people in Mission, bring your M16 to church with you. That ought to make you feel safe. That ought to make God feel good. How stupid is that?
Gun sales are apparently through the roof, General.
Absolutely. It happens every time. It's a part of our culture, but it's something we just got to live with. It's a right to people buy weapons. God bless them. So the gun people ought not be getting subsidies then if the gun bills do it so good. I would say this. Some of the things that's going on in the legislature, like as with Senate Bill 359, we've got the legislative body intervening in a lawsuit. A lawsuit that has already seen come brought to fruition some settlements. So imagine you being in court for 7 years, state and federal court, and now with 359, we got the Louisiana legislature who are in charge of the playground again. The last time they were in charge of the playground at the Capitol, they broke the state. They had the House, they had the Senate, and they had the mansion. They broke the state. They broke Stelly. We supported education. They gave away tax breaks. They fired most of the state agency staff. They drove the truck in the ditch And by the time Governor Edwards got in, the state was broke. They're in charge again in the legislature. And they're in charge in a big way. And here they want to intervene in a judicial manner. An ongoing court case, they want to turn that with 359 and said, no, well, you don't really have the right to vote, parishes. It's the state responsibility to sue big oil. And this bill was done in the middle of the night with only 7 members present of a committee of about 17, and it was done after 7 o'clock at night. This was a mugging of a democracy, and 359, I hope people will call their senators today before 1 o'clock and say no to this bill.
877-217-5757 for General Russell Honore. Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, you watch the news. I mean, Charlottesville, the racist guy that went in there and shot all the churchgoers because they were black. Maybe if the people in that church had a gun, they could have stopped them. And in Texas, there was a guy who shot 2 people, and they shot him dead before he shot any more people.
All right. Are guns, obviously in some cases they are used effectively for self-defense, but more often than not, do the detriments outweigh the positives? Or what do you think, General?
I think we're going down this cultural divide here. Guns everywhere. How do you discern who is the good guy if everybody's carrying a gun in that scenario? I say no. And I do not believe that while there have been some exceptions, by and large, more people carrying guns. There would be some say you carry a gun in a bar. You're going to go drink and have a gun with you? How stupid is that? You know your judgment. Why you go to the bar? To socialize and drink until you get happy. Your judgment is impaired. That's why you can't drive a damn car when you're drinking. And we want to empower everybody to have a gun everywhere. That's a totally stupid idea.
877-217-5757 for a fired-up General Russell Honore. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, gentlemen, and thank you, General. Yeah, we also talked about the state legislature giving a sop to the auto insurance industry. They never keep any promises for our rates to go down, but they sure get any sweetheart bills that they want to have.
Well, that's one we'll be talking about this week with Jim Donilon, and the general has a full array of bills that he's following, and most of them, all of them, involve the environment in one way, shape, or form. So why don't we keep it at that?
Thank you.
And, of course, I mentioned guns, and a listener knows the general has been extremely active in talking about how, as a military person and a gun owner and a hunter, he does not believe we need assault weapons as part of our arsenal in our homes. 877-217-5757. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, General, would you say that the legislators' stupidity is only surpassed by the selfishness in putting the corporate interest they pander to ahead of the citizenry as a whole?
That's a good question, because that flag of the oil and gas company is still flying over the Capitol. In spite of the promises made, they're the most dominant power. And the other thing I think we've got to come back and address, one day we'll get some good governance and we'll pass a bill where legislators have to recuse themselves. A lot of our legislators, and I can't give you the number because of it's hard to get that data, but they work, many of them are lawyers that work for oil and gas in their day job, or they own companies that support the oil and gas company. So we do not get a fair shake in legislation. And when you look at the donations, political donations, where are they coming from? Oil and gas companies. They dominate the political contributions. So we're not getting a fair shake in the legislature, because it's dominated, and we do not have a law in Louisiana that would require a legislator to recuse themselves. We've got 2 bills by Mr. Bishop in the House, 2 HCR, 66 and 65. 65 would give severance exemption for over a year to oil and gas. The state's broke. We can't give oil and gas a broke. And the other one would exempt them for the first $300,000 that they create. That's 66. Mr. Bishop's company serviced the oil and gas business. That's what he do. He pour concrete. Jane. And here he is leading the committee and about to pass an HCR, which the governor cannot veto.
James in Metairie, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, James.
Well, thank you very much, Jim, and to General Honore, thank you, sir, for your service, especially in Korea. It's just amazing to me, I'm looking at a Washington Post article, how politicized even something like wearing a mask has become in this country. About 70% of Democrats, only 60% of Republicans wear the mask. We're hearing things from the right that we're going to lose more people. More people are going to die from the protective measures that were taken, especially shutting down, locking down the economy. It's better to not have any of these restrictions on how many people in a restaurant, social distancing, et cetera. More people will die from that, from suicides and depression, alcoholism, drug abuse, than will be killed by the disease. General, you've heard some of this craziness. What's your reaction to it?
Oh, they've created this into a culture war. A culture war that says, I don't wear a mask, and it's a statement that we want the economy open and people to become normalized with 2,000 people dying a day in America. And many of them, as you said, I think your percentage is about right, making a statement that they're not going to wear a mask. It is their way of defiance. And it's led, unfortunately, from the White House by members of the White House who do not wear a mask under any conditions, even though they get to be tested every day. It is a bad message, and it's going to cause people to die.
877-217-5757. Back soon. This is Jim Inkster, heading round the turn and into the home stretch with General Russell Honore on Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Matt Doyle producing, and still time to get in with the General if you'd like. And the General, of course, fought in various wars, most notably in Desert Storm as a battalion commander, and we do have a question about that from a listener. Another asked about James in Metairie making the statement that General served in Korea. He was not in the Korean War.
No.
But he was in Korea.
Yeah, I commanded the 2nd Infantry Division, 17,000 infantry troops, primarily in 2000, right during 9/11. That's where I was commanding the division along the DMZ. And I was there in the 70s as a rifle company commander.
And he went in 1972 at the heart of the Vietnam War, but did not fight in that war.
No.
But was certainly exposed and could have had the commander-in-chief send him there. And that brings us to another question, and a good one from Tom on Blue Bonnet, about how when you were a battalion commander in Desert Storm, it's apparent by your statements here today that you probably were not in concert with the President of the United States, George H.W. Bush, under a lot of things, but he was the commander-in-chief. And in those days, you saluted the flag, you accepted orders, and you did the mission. Do we have a lack of that now because of all the division in our country?
No. I think our military takes our missions seriously. And it never was a thought in my mind once the president gave the order. And we should never get to that point in America, and the Congress and the Senate get to a position where the president give an order, an illegal order. Any order issued by the president will be carried out by the United States military. We've done that throughout history. And the order to go to Iraq was a legal order, and that's what we did. And few hundred of our comrades died, didn't come back, and many of them were still suffer from wounds and or exposure to chemical gases that were present in Iraq. So that was a 100-hour war, and you got to be proud of how our troops did what they were asked to do, but we don't ever want to get to that point, and American people should not worry. As long as we get a legal order, that, and I say we collectively, for those who are serving, last week was Armed Forces Day, the military will get those missions accomplished.
You were 43 years old.
Mm-hmm.
battalion commander, and I think you were involved in the push that went into Kuwait, right?
No, I was a part of the rear. I secured the port of Dammam. We were worried about infiltration from the Iraqi special forces, and my battalion stayed at the port of Dammam unloading the ships. I was an infantry battalion. We had Bradleys that were we took some with us, and we took some at the port to defend the port of Dammam. We took 18 incoming Scud missiles at my battalion while we were there.
18 incoming Scud missiles. Mm-hmm. So obviously the general was in harm's way. Mike in New Iberia. Mike, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Mike.
Good Hello morning. There.
Yes, sir.
Watching the chaos in New York City between the governor and the mayor, I think General Honoré might be a welcome visitor to maybe offer some adult supervision. what you did in New Orleans was miraculous, and I was blessed to go to the War College National Security Seminar many years ago, and I have the utmost faith in the American military leadership.
All right. Thank you, sir. Angel asks about HB 140 by Representative Miguez allowing guns in public places. She yeah. says children's playgrounds and bars where alcohol is served, what you were talking about. Mm. She asks what your perception is as far as that clearing the legislature.
It could pass. They're passing some crazy stuff down there. You know, like I said, they're thinking about how you give oil and gas money. HCR 66 and 65. The amount of money they can give them in terms of severance and exemptions is close to $700 or $800 million, is what the estimate is. That will not save oil and gas, but it will destroy our education and our health budget. So do we want to give tax breaks to Texas oil companies, because those are the predominant recipients of this? You know, we don't have many oil companies here in Louisiana. Do we want to give tax breaks to Texas oil companies at the expense? This will not save big oil. What got big oil is a overproduction, a lack of consumption during the pandemic, and the Saudis reduced the price. Now, here, the lowly Louisiana legislature, the state is broke. And here we've got Representative Bishop bringing bills to give handouts to big oil. Look, 90% of oil companies do their work well. All of us have relatives work in it. I came in with gas that they produce. They're a part of the economy. But are we going to give exemptions to people who run restaurants? Are we going to give exemptions to contractors? They create jobs. Restaurants create 30% of our employees in Louisiana. No, but we want to give it to big oil. This is a giveaway, and as I said, Representative Bishop is a part of that industry, and he has no recusal himself. He is sponsoring these bills, and it's going to hurt our economy, and it's going to hurt our state, and we need to put more money in education. It's unfortunate that this pandemic has distracted our governor, because he has put priority of saving lives first, and in the meantime, the kids have taken over at the legislature, and they've passed a lot of bad bills, the majority party.
He does have a veto pen, which he will use, I'm sure, in some cases, and the governor will be with us Tuesday for Ask the Governor. And Ricky Causey asks if you have any inclination to run for the U.S. Senate against either William Morgan Cassidy this year or John Neely Kennedy in 2 years. Any thoughts? No.
No. And the problem is that the legislature now is that the governor can't veto a HCR. They go in generally for a year, and he can't touch them.
You're talking about the two resolutions,
right?
65 and 66.
Right. He cannot veto them. So with a majority of vote in both houses, it will pass, and it will give severance exclusion to oil and gas, and it will also give them exclusion for the first $300,000 they make. That's crazy. We need that money to support education and health care.
Well, the governor is in a situation where the legislature is overwhelmingly Republican. Tyler Bridges yesterday in The Advocate is talking about the dilemma, or writing about it, that the governor is facing, saying the House Appropriations Committee will not approve the budget. The first step until the legislative process until Thursday at the earliest. And ironically, it goes on from there, saying the governor's standing with the legislature appears to have hit a new all-time low when polls show the public is giving him its highest mark overall for handling the coronavirus. But if this is a situation which just drags on, we could have a special session. And Tyler writes, this would force the possibility of an override of an Edwards veto on non-budget bills and trying to extract concessions from him on the budget. So the legislative maneuvering, this is nothing new, but you say it's been taken to a new level.
It's taken to a new level. They even have a House continuing resolution. You know, the ITEP that people in Louisiana are familiar, the tax exemptions to industry, the ITEP bill. They have a House continuing resolution that would revert the governor's decision to allow the parish to have that 20% that they get up front in negotiating with industry and the tax exemption. There's an HCR that would suspend that would wipe away the governor's executive order that require allow the parishes to get up to 20% of the ITEP that they should be receiving. What they do with ITEP money? They pay for school, roads, parish employees, parish staff. That money is not available. How are they going to run those parishes?
Do you talk often with the governor?
Not frequently, no.
But you were a supporter of his, and we know that the general stayed out of the 2015 race, in which he would have certainly hurt his fellow Democrat, John Bell Edwards.
Well, I'm not a Democrat. I'm apolitical.
You're an independent who leans.
I take no brand.
Okay, well, you got the brand on, you got the army on there, but right. That's a brand that I think we all can.
Well, I'm talking about political brand. Okay. I'm apolitical.
No political brand.
I've worked for both Democrat and Republican presidents, and that's the way it is.
The military is considered to be more conservative than the American people by and large. Is that accurate?
I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah. And we have a commander-in-chief, and I mentioned the guy running against him also. Both of these guys tucked tail and ran when it was their turn to fight in Vietnam. They didn't want any part of it. What do you make of that? And being commander-in-chief, is that sufficient?
Let me say this. Democracy spoke.
It spoke. What if we have a situation, and we'll close with this. We're running out of time, Matt says, but 2000, Albert Arnold Gore, he wins the overall vote. He loses the election by one vote. The Supreme Court stopped a recount in Florida, which probably would have given Gore the presidency, and he stepped aside saying, it's time for me to go. Don't think that would be the case if this happens in 2020. We might have a war in our country. Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
I hope not. I hope cooler minds
will prevail.
Will prevail, and I hope
we
the young people.
Go. First Financial is our signature supporter. Stay tuned.